The prayers of the saints were presented to God. Think about that. It said that the incense was offered along with the prayers of the saints. And I think about that, when I started thinking about that, that there was silence in heaven for a space of about a half an hour there. We start thinking about our prayer life, you know, how we pray. I've been talking about that some on Sunday night, and it's been coming out. You know, sometimes we feel like that there's no time for prayer, or that we rush through our prayer time. And think about our prayers now, the kind of prayers that we pray a lot of times. But then think about how God views our prayers, that the fact that there was silence in heaven while the prayers had come up before God and they were offered there before God. And we think about that when we're apt to rush through our prayer time. I do it. I do the same thing. I get in a hurry, mealy mouth, rushing through, repetitive, same old thing, say the same thing. We talked about that some. We rush through our prayer time. And, you know, I said this morning I was talking about what hinders us from loving God with all our mind, our soul, you know, with all our heart, all our strength. You know, what hinders us from loving God that way? What do you think it is that hinders our spiritual growth? What really hinders our spiritual growth? What slows us down there? And we think about that with our prayer time, and I think it's this, and I said this morning, I gave you a little taste of it this morning. It's our communion time with God. This is what it is. See, I started thinking about it. I know, and the Bible mentions prayers and all that, but, you know, sometimes somebody's got the right definition in their mind. When we think about the saints, you think about guys like David that pray. I mean, he had it straightened out. I mean, he knew what the real definition of a prayer time was. And with us, though, and with a lot of people, I think, I'm apt to prone to not call it prayer time as much as communion time. Because prayer time, when we say prayer a lot of times for people, it's just like worship. Nowadays, this day and time, when you say worship, I went to somewhere the other day and said, when you say, oh, we're going to have worship, they think you're just talking about singing. Well, it's time for worship. That's what the lady told me at school the other day. I said, well, how does it go? Well, we're going to take up the offering, and then we're going to have worship. What she meant was we're going to sing. Worship's not only singing. That's not only singing. You don't have to do anything to worship. You can have your... There was silence in heaven for a space of a half an hour. What do you think that was? That was worship. I mean, man, we're just sitting in silence before God, listening to God. Hey, we can worship God reading the Word of God. We can worship God listening to the preaching of God. It's all those things is an act of worship. Even service is an act of worship. It's not just singing. So the definition is incorrect, or the way a lot of people take it today. And then with prayer. A lot of times when you say, well, what's prayer? Oh, well, that's when I give God the laundry list of all the things I want done, you know. And sometimes they're not necessarily selfish requests either. Tonight we mentioned prayer. Somebody lost a loved one, several people sick, you know, that kind of thing. It's intercession. But that's the definition of a lot of times intercession, which intercession's good. That's part of prayer time, but it's not all of it. And so, like, I'm thinking, man, you know, we might have to change the title here to get us on the right track. I like to think about our communion time with God. And see, then a lot of people would sit back and say, well, wait a minute. I'm not thinking as my prayer life as communion with God. I'm just thinking of it as prayer time. When I'm telling God, yada, 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 fill in the blank. And I'm not saying what you're telling God's bad, wrong, and then he wouldn't want to hear it. But it's not all of it. You know, when we start getting on the right track, you know, it's just like even, and I'm preaching to me too. You know, getting on the right track. How much spiritual growth do you think you would have if all we did was say, well, God, here's this problem, that problem, this problem, that problem. I'm going to lift this problem up before you. And all I'm doing is praying about problems, sick people, other kind of problems like that. How much spiritual growth do you think you would have? I mean, I think it's going to be limited there. We're limited. We're segmented right into this one point. We talked about it. We did a whole series on prayer. We talked about it somewhat as well. But sometimes it's still so hard to get our head wrapped around that. It's communion. We think about communion. You know, we talk about, you know, communion with the communion service. But communion is a two-way fellowship. Fellowship's a good word. You know, being with somebody, hanging out, the redneck version, right? Hanging out, just being with somebody. And I started thinking about that, that we need to emphasize that more. This is what this has to do with. Like I say, don't know how long this is going to be, how long the message will be, or how. It's probably just different. It's just a different way I've got everything written down. Like I say, communion carries with it the thought of God talking to us also, not just us talking to God. See, because when we think of prayer life, prayer time, we're thinking about us talking to God, but not God talking to us. Now listen, when God talks to us, there's silence. See, God can speak to us in silence. That we're when we're thinking about that. A half an hour of silence while the prayers were brought before God. A half an hour in silence in heaven. They used to joke around about it. They said there was proof right there that there wasn't any women in heaven. Just saying. Because there was silence for a half an hour. just a joke. I didn't say it. I just repeat it. But think about this. What do you think a half an hour every day with God, a real half an hour with God, would do for you? I'm not saying you don't have, but majority of people don't. What do you think a half an hour in the presence of God? Listen, I mean, you wouldn't have to say anything. I've used that, I don't know how long they stayed in there, but when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament and he walked around the ark in there and there was the glory of God manifest in there, I don't know how long he was in there, but I guarantee you he didn't want to come out. And when he did come out, it was different. When Moses went and spent time with God, he went up on the mountain and spent time with God. When he came down, the Bible says that his face shone. The glory of God shone. He didn't even know it. I mean, he didn't know that that happened. What do you think a half an hour? I'm not even talking about, if we, you know, the sweet hour of prayer. Usually the sweet hour of prayer is still a whole bunch of requests. Huh? I mean, just think about a half an hour in the presence of God where you know, that there's the felt presence of God, the closeness of God. What do you think a half an hour would do for you every day, would do for you? Huh? Boy, I tell you what, it'd be a life-changing deal. It would be a life-changing deal. Just think, what do you think a half an hour, all of us, everybody at Valley View Baptist Church and even just all of us here, if a half an hour in the presence of God, which we can have it, listen, we can have it, where there's communion, I'm talking about fellowship, God speaking to us, maybe we don't even have to say anything, but we're in the presence of God. What do you think that would do for a church service, any church service? What do you think if we had all spent a half an hour with God in that way? Get everything, the distractions, away, if that's possible. I can start to pray that dog of ours, man. Gotta get me fired up. Come in. Anything can distract. Does the thought of a half an hour alone with God scare you? Think about this. You know, there's a lot of people, listen, we're such creatures of habit. There's people that don't want their life shook up in any way, shape, or form. I mean, you know, look at us, man. We got a piddling little handful. Look where everybody's sitting. I say this all the time. You're sitting in the same spot. If you was going to a rock concert, you know where you'd be? Right here where Leonard and Kent. Huh? You'd be on the front row. You try to get just as close as you can get if you go to a concert, right? You try to get, when you buy tickets, where do you get to? Try to get them just as close as you can get. Come to church. What? We're creatures of habit. And so we don't like our routine ruffled up any. I mean, I'm the same way. I don't like my routine ruffled up. But a half an hour alone with God, it could be scary for people. You know, for a lot of reasons. Because, well, you know, I mean, I know there's things in my life that need to be worked on. And I don't, you know, we think about that. We don't know. You know, we don't know what God's going to do. And then how to spend that time. How would you spend a half an hour with God? I remember when we went to the prayer advance and they said we were going to have an hour of prayer. I'm thinking, my goodness, an hour of prayer. How in the world are you going to spend an hour in prayer, man? I mean, telling you what, man, I told y'all maybe last week. Next time you get ready to get down to pray, just go ahead and look at your watch, look at the time, look at your phone to see what time it is and pray. And then when you get done, see how much time you really spend in prayer. And you think, good grief. You know, I didn't even make a minute. I didn't make 2 minutes. Now we got an hour of prayer. Well, you know, Harold, they give you a guide thing. And a lot of that, listen, it has to do with, you know, requesting things, spiritual things for ourselves and all that. And it helps you along. But when you think about it, when we start even in the intercession side of things, if you start interceding for your household, your children, your spouse, the church congregation, you know, every now and then, I don't do this every day, sorry about this, but I do it every once in a while. See, because of the fact that you all sit in the same spot, it does make it a little easier for me. I go in my head mentally, and I go down each row, and I mention each person by name in prayer, go down the row, and mention every person in prayer. Go to each seat and pray over those people. I tried to get the church to do that one time. Some of them did half of the church and left. I think they misunderstood what I wanted them to do. They did it. We did it like at the first of the year. We went around and did that. But the congregation, the pastor, prayer for me. You could spend all day on that one. Pray for schools, missionaries, nation, leaders. And being sure to meet with God at the same time, just on the intercession side of things. But then if we really get a grip on ourselves, like spiritually, I think we're so far away from where God would have us to be, really. Oh, it's going to be so different in heaven. It's going to be so different in heaven. We're going to be thinking, wow, man. And I don't know if God will show us this, but he'll show us what it could have been on earth. We'll see what it could have been. If he doesn't show us, I mean, we're going to know. We're going to know, you know what, I could have had this when I was down on earth. And we're going to think, wow, man, we missed the boat by 100 miles. What it would be like, you know, I'm going to tell you what, when we start thinking about that, and when we start getting to our spiritual side of things, the time wouldn't be enough. An hour wouldn't be enough. Half an hour wouldn't be enough. It would go by so fast. God, listen, God wants to bless us. And it's not necessarily, we always think in the material. This, like, financial or prosperity of some sort, job, you know, whatever it is. We don't think of the kind of spiritual blessings, all spiritual blessings. That's what he said he has for us, all spiritual blessings. God wants to bless us. God wants this communion himself. He wants this fellowship. Is it not worth the trouble to spend a half an hour? See, I'm going to tell you what, man, my mind is so distracted. I've said this before. I cannot rush. I try it, and sometimes I have to do it this way, but I'm going to tell you what, I don't really come into the presence of God. No, because my mind's too distracted. I can't read. I was trying to read a devotion book. Here it is, Sunday morning. I'm going to preach today. Sunday morning, I got to get up. I need to be in communion with God. I need to, you know, I've got the outline together and everything, but I need to be in communion with God. I'm trying to read my devotion books. I got several of them. I'm trying to read them. I had to read one 3 times because while I was looking at the words, I was thinking about something else. Something else didn't have nothing to do with church, didn't have to do with God, didn't have to do with anything. It was just wasn't sin. I mean, it wasn't anything I was thinking bad, but it was just distractive things. You know, wonder what the weather's going to be like. I wonder what the weather's going to be tomorrow. I wonder what the weather's going to be this week. It doesn't matter how Satan can get your mind on anything. What's the weather going to be? Then the stupid dog started whining, like I was talking about. Had to go out there and deal with her. You get off sidetrack. I had to read the same thing 3 times to get. So what happens? We try to rush into the presence of God. I'm not saying you can't do it, but it doesn't work very well. I mean, if there's an emergency distraction, I'm sure you can rush into the presence. If you've got an emergency going on. But, you know, God wants to bless us, and yet the trouble, I think there's a certain amount of time that's going to be needed to just start getting the world and everything. And I'll talk about that in just a second. There was a need in heaven for a half an hour of silence to present the prayers before God. There was a need for that, half an hour of silence. And I'm pretty sure in heaven they weren't talking about trivial things anyway, if there was. Matthew 6:6, another place in the Bible says this. It says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Enter into thy closet. What that means is, it doesn't mean you have to go in a closet, but it doesn't mean you can't. You got a seat or something where you can get in one. But it means to get in a private place, get alone. You know, if it's it could be in the living room as long as nobody else is around. It could be anywhere where you're private. Now listen, public prayer is we see public prayer in the Bible. It's recognized, promoted, it's done. It's all throughout the Bible, all throughout Old Testament, it's all throughout the New Testament. Listen, Jesus prayed publicly, David prayed publicly, Solomon prayed publicly, Paul prayed publicly. Paul wrote his prayers down. Well, you know, if you look at the New Testament, books that Paul wrote, I mean, there's prayers written down. They're written down prayers. He prayed them out loud and he wrote them down. But here's the thing. Nobody's ready to pray publicly that hasn't prayed privately. And back when we had the men's meeting, we had a men's meeting and the ladies were meeting on Tuesday and the men, and I was really had a burden for the men to be the spiritual leader in their family like God called us to be. And, you know, I was talking about this fact, and I was talking with some of the men about, you know, their prayer life and asking them point blank. And a lot, you know, the men were honest and they said, well, you know, I pray, but some of them didn't pray with their wife and things. And I told them, I said, this is what to do. I gave them the practical things, the nuts and bolts. The very first thing is when you pray, pray out loud. So you pray out loud, you're talking, right? Then pray with your wife. Listen, you can't pray publicly if you can't pray privately. It's hard to pray with anybody else. To pray publicly, we have to do it the right way. Now listen, the Pharisees, and the reason Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6 was, the Pharisees, they like to pray publicly. I tell you what, I don't. I mean, I just always feel like I'm not a good prayer or not an inadequate prayer. It's hard to be not to be self-conscious when you pray out loud. You know, somebody calls on you to pray, you don't want to sound like a moron, pride, right? You don't want to sound, you want to sound like you got, you know, something, right? You're always, you're kind of so conscious of everybody listening to what you got to say. But I'm going to tell you now, there's a difference when you've been in the presence of God, and you can be in the presence of God spiritually in the midst of a crowd, and when you pray then, it doesn't really matter what everybody else hears. It doesn't matter. Even though and like I say, corporate prayer, it's a needed thing. I mean, and it's taught, and God does it, but we have to learn how to do it right. And the Pharisees had a tendency to want man's praise. And I've heard people pray like this, and it's hard not to do it because you're so conscious of people listening that when you pray, you end up talking to the people that are listening instead of talking to God. You know, I've heard people pray, and I can tell, listen, they're talking to me. They're not talking to God. And it's hard not to do that. It's hard not to do that. I remember I said I've had to pray with some good praying men, some good men. I had to pray with Brother Alderman one time, him and I. I was so conscious of that. I was like, man, I don't want to sound stupid. You know, so I said, well, you go first. Let him pray and see how he was going to pray. And, you know, what he was going to pray about. And I'm thinking, man, you know, there's just different planes that you can get on there in your prayer life and the kind of things that you pray about. And so we think about this, the Pharisees, and they wanted to look good. And like I say, we want to do it too. And we don't, you know, but we it's just such a hard thing to do. Listen, and God knows it. So he says this. He said, listen, beforehand, he said, what you need to do, you need to get into a secret place. You need to get into a private place where it's just me and you. Just, you know, because why? Because now we're going to, there's nobody to impress. Huh? Pride's not going to enter in anywhere. And we know, those of us know that we know we're not going to lie to God. He knows him. We're not going to pull the wool over his eyes. We can come honest and clean. We need to do all that. I mean, there's things that you're going to pray about with God in private that, you know, wouldn't be right, and you shouldn't probably pray about it in public and blab it all, you know, that people don't need to know everything. I understand that, you know, but we need this private place to be alone with God. And because pride will hinder us. And it, the Bible says, now the Bible tells us this about praying with somebody else. It says, confess your faults one to another. How many people got little enough pride to do it? To say, praying with somebody, you know, this is my fault, brother. I'm going to pray. I need to pray about it. I want you to pray with me. We won't. That doesn't seldom happens. Now, we would with God, you know, a lot. We should with God. Maybe sometimes with pride there, we try that with God too. But, you know, God knows that we're more prone to open up and talk to God and get with Him on some things. I mean, there's just a need there to do that, and God knows it. I say this all the time. I'll tell you, Sherry and I pray together. But I pray beforehand. She prays by herself, and I pray by myself. And I got a feeling those prayers are different than what even the ones that we pray with each other about. You know, what we pray together with. You know, it's kind of routine. It's kind of, you know how it's going to go. You can probably move your mouth to what I'm about to say when me and you pray together, because you know how we're going to go. We're going to pray for our family. We're going to pray for the grandkids. We're going to pray for any church members that got any issues going on that we know about. We're going to pray for the church service. We're going to pray for other pastors that we know. We're going to pray for the leaders of the country. We're going to do all that. But man, listen, when I get alone with God, I'm going to say, I can tell God what my fears are. I can tell God what I know, what my, He already knows what my shortcomings are, but I'd like to let Him know that I know, but He knows that I know. But I mean, I think it's good to tell Him, you know. I think I need to say it and say, God, I just need help with this. I just need, you know, I need help with that. Listen, I believe that, you know, when Jesus prayed, Jesus, Mark 1:35 tells us that Jesus rose up a great while before day and went out into and departed into a solitary place, and there that He prayed. And I started thinking about that. So here's Jesus, God in the flesh. Of course, then it was the man Jesus and God Jesus, but the man Jesus. And He went out into a solitary place and He prayed. I believe He did it every day, as long as He could. Was able, and He probably was able. He rose up a great while before day, before it got busy. He went out and prayed. And I started thinking about it. What do you think Jesus prayed about? He didn't have to confess any sin, right? And why did He go to a solitary place when He had the disciples? A lot of times, you know, He was with the disciples. They were in a crowd. And they maybe they were in the garden or Mount of Olives. We talked about that this morning. But what happened was He would separate Himself from those guys in the morning to be with the Father alone and pray. And I started thinking about it. Now, He is trying to teach them to pray. He was trying to teach them about a spiritual life. I don't think that if Jesus was praying in front of all of us that He would have that problem in His mind about, well, you know, I don't want to sound like a moron and I want to look good. And, you know, I don't think He had the pride issue, right? He would have been praying rightly. And it would have been good to hear Him praying. And we did hear Him pray. He did pray out loud at other times. It would have been good to hear Him praying so that we could learn. The disciples would have learned if they'd heard Jesus. Yet Jesus had this need to get alone with the Father. Didn't have to confess sin. Wasn't nothing He was trying to hide. He didn't have to go out there and tell God different things that he'd done. Confess them, and He didn't want nobody else to hear about it. He didn't have to do that. But He just had this need to go out and be, and what it was fellowship. It was this communion. He had this need to be with God the Father. It was just a spiritual need. Didn't really need to have to say anything, tell Him some things. Didn't really, you know, God the Father spoke to Him. I don't know that He had a need for it in the sense, because it's hard to get your head wrapped around that because He's got too, but I don't know that he needed, but apparently He did. I'll show you in a minute here something, just a second, about it. But He just had to have an everyday encounter with God the Father. He had to have it. Do we need it less? No, we probably need it more, right? Luke 6:12, it said, Jesus went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. He got a little more than a half an hour in. He got a little bit more than an hour in. Continued all night in prayer. Was He timing it with a stopwatch? Well, I'm going to get it in all night tonight. Okay, boy, it's 10 after 7 almost. So I'm going to go to 10 after 7 in the morning. No, He didn't time it. I don't even know if that was His plan. Did He plan, I'm going to go pray all night? No, I don't think so. I just think that's just the way it worked out. He got in fellowship with God. Like I said, I don't know if I was the high priest walking in the Holy of Holies of that day. I don't know how long they stayed in there. I don't know that the Bible says how long they stayed in there. You'd had to. They said they tie a rope around their waist in case they didn't have any sin under the blood. Because what happened if they went into the Holy of Holies and they didn't have all their sin confessed? Guess what? God killed them. They had bells on the bottom of their robe so that when they walked around in there that the people on the outside could hear them, the bells ringing. And if they died, nobody could go in there but the high priest. If the high priest died, you couldn't go in. So they had a rope around his waist to drag him out. They'd have had to have a rope on me to drag me out just because I'd be in there too long. I mean, the time would have been up. Everybody had been going, come on, you got to come out of there. They'd have had to drag me out of there. Being in the presence of God. I believe when Jesus went out and he had an all-night prayer meeting on the mountain, I just think he was in the presence of God the Father and just didn't want it to end. It wasn't a timetable or a schedule or anything. The Bible tells us that Peter, he went up onto a housetop to pray. Got a vision, went into a trance about Cornelius on there. Jacob, remember Jacob? He was in an all-night wrestling match with the pre-incarnate Christ. That was how his all-night prayer meeting went. He was on the more carnal side, and we would fit better with Jacob than Jesus. Trust me on that. But they didn't have a stopwatch on things either. They just didn't have that. Now, we think about, so here's God, here's Jesus, and he just wanted that communion. Do you ever, I'm probably ahead of myself, but anyway, it's where I feel like saying it now. Do you ever have a, well, yeah, I know y'all got this right. Let me get you on this track right here. Anybody ever get a craving for something to eat? Huh? You ever get like just a craving, man? Like you just got to have it, right? Want it? It can be anything as simple as water to, Yeah, you get a craving, you don't even know what it is. You want something to eat, right? If you ever get a craving for God, do you ever just think like, you know what, I'm just like starving a little bit, man. I'm hungry for something from, you know, and you can't really, it's not like, it doesn't have anything to do with sin or any of that, but it's just like, man, you just got to have, you want a spiritual encounter. You ever get that? Yeah, sometimes. If you want this, when you get to this, you know, God takes you through things in steps. Well, there's certain way, you know, you can't just push a button here. Man, you gotta have a desire to get there with God. Now listen, God wants us. God wants to draw us away from the world and everything that's in the world. The prayer closet, the time. This is what he wants. God, I'm going to tell you, God wants communion with us more than we want it with him. He does. He tries to get our heart to this place. I know he tries this. And it's just like, there's times when, man, you can just feel God like welling up, you know, in your heart, in your soul. You feel that? This evening, I said, I'm going to go in there. I didn't have it all done. I said the ending, I didn't have nothing on the end. I said, I don't know. I want to go in there and look at this. So, you know, I went in my office that I have at home. I got back in the back. And, you know, I started looking over these notes. I was just feeling like God, man, like I was feeling that. Just, you know, and what God was saying to me, like in my spirit, I think, you're right. You're on it. You're on it. You're getting it. You're getting it. You're getting to the point here. This is what God, and so what happens? He wants to draw us away from the world, and even he wants to draw us away from our own self, because, you know, self's our number one enemy, ourself. And he wants to draw us to himself. This is what he's trying to do. He wants it to be voluntary. This is what he wants. He doesn't want it relegated to a time. Oh, hey, I'm going to church today. Hey, I'm going to go to church tonight. Hey, I mean, he wants us to go to church, don't get me wrong. But he's not wanting our time with him to be relegated to this. If this is it, what kind of life is this? Huh? I mean, we could join the Lions Club or something and get the same thing. I mean, we're just going to go there for an hour meeting or once a week or whatever they do. I'm just using that for an example. Nothing wrong with the Lions Club. Don't go say, Pastor Ben said the Lions Club is bad. I'm just saying, we could get this in some other form, right? And so, If and was this ever your problem? Yeah. Listen, it was. This was like it was with me. My God time was time at church. And I went to all of them. Man, I'll tell you, when I got saved, I went to everything. I went to Sunday school. I went to Sunday morning. I went to Sunday night, and I went to Wednesday night. Our Wednesday night didn't even start until 7:30 on a school night, work night. You know, kids was in school. We started Wednesday night at 7:30. Man, we didn't get out of church till 9 o'clock. It's just the way it was. Didn't know no different. Didn't know no better. Didn't know nothing. But you know what? That was my God time. Well, did you have prayer? Yeah, I prayed. Real repetitive, real formal, real rushed. Did I come into the presence of God? No. Did I read my Bible? Yeah. Check the box. Did I come in the presence of God? No. Shoot, I didn't even come in the presence of God a lot of times being in church. Message was good. Singing was good. Learned something. But did I come in the presence of God? Nah. Because my mind could, you think my mind's distracted while I was reading something. Huh? When I was sitting out there while the preacher was preaching, it could be just as distracted, if not more so, because I didn't have to look at the, read anything. Huh? Did I come in the presence of God? No. Lots of times, week in, week out, didn't come in the presence of God. And so, but here was God. See, God, and man, you know, I'm hard-headed as they come. It's taken all these years. It's taken all these years, God, to see this, to see it. Listen, I think you need to be, because of the way we are humanly, I think there needs to be designated time as far as the slot. I think morning's good, start the day off with God. Evening's good, end the day with God. But God doesn't want it to be that. I mean, He wants that, don't get me wrong, but at the same time, we can still get ritualistic and formalistic even doing that, and God's not looking for that, man. He wants fellowship. When we think about this secret prayer, when we think about Jesus, what did Jesus pray about? You know what? You know, Jesus, when you think about it, really, did Jesus have to pray down a sick list? No, because He could heal anybody that, you know, He could heal them. He could just heal them by thought, word, He didn't have to do anything. It could just be so. He wasn't worried about it. Man, listen, I need to. It was on the spiritual side of things. This is what He prayed about. He didn't have to pray for confession of sin. He didn't have to do that. You know, when we have fellowship with somebody, like I was thinking about, okay, when we all grew up, when we have friends, you got friends now, I guess, but I was trying to think when I was younger and had my buddies. I lived in a neighborhood, Dermont Avenue, man, a bunch of boys lived on this street, my buddies that we grew up with. All right, I'm going to bebop down the street to see Donald, Paul, Bo, anybody. I didn't have an agenda. Like, well, when I get there, I'm going to talk to them about this, this, and this, and this, you know. And then we're going, not that there was never nothing to talk about. Hanging out. What'd you do with your buddies? You just went down there and got with your buddies. What are you going to do? I don't know. Whatever we got into. It always wasn't good. whatever we're going to get into. Wasn't no agenda. We just hung out. Sometimes we didn't do anything. Watch TV. We didn't have a plan, a schedule, a formula. This is what we got to do. That's really what God wants communion to be. We're just hanging out with God. We're just with God. You know, we don't have this agenda for Him. Hey, God, here's all my problems. Here's all my, you know, I've said before over and over and over again, if every time you saw somebody, all they had was a list of problems for you, I mean, you'd avoid them like the plague after a while. It would get to be old, right? No, it would just be, we would just be with any, in a human relationship, it doesn't have, or in a friendship with another person, it's just being with them. That's it. What are you going to do? Mom, where are you going? I'm going down to Donald's. What are you going to do? I don't know. Nothing. Just go down there and be with Donald. Hang around. We'd do something. We'd come up with something to do. That's exactly what God wants. Communion, fellowship, friendship. This is what God is trying to drag us to. Not time clock, punching in, punching out, you know, just this time and using God like a 911 service for every problem that we have. Now, I know Jesus didn't have to pray for forgiveness for Himself. You know what? One thing he did pray for, though, for himself, he did pray during time of strong temptations in his human side. When he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, the night before his arrest, the night of his arrest, he was praying for those temptations. It was a strong temptation. After he had been baptized, he went in the desert and fasted 40 days. Yeah, he was out there. There was strong temptation. He prayed for that. Not that he was going to fail, but he just prayed about it. He prayed about those things. I know he did that. I believe he did that. I believe, like, when you see the Apostle Paul's prayers, and I could have gone through all these, but I didn't. Paul prayed for the spiritual growth of the believers, people that he led to the Lord, the churches. You look at how many times Paul prayed. Very seldom is there any prayer for somebody that's sick. And even though he even mentioned some people that are sick, one guy couldn't go with him one time because he had to leave him somewhere sick. He was an apostle. How come he didn't heal him? I don't know. Paul had a thorn in his own flesh. He couldn't heal himself. The other apostle didn't heal him either. Couldn't heal him. This was a God-appointed thorn. So what I'm saying is, but when you read his prayers, all of his prayers, well, here was a man that was full of God. Here was a man that had fellowship with God. Here was a guy that was in communion with God. Here was a guy that was led by the Spirit. He prayed like Jesus prayed. He prayed for the spiritual growth of the believers. You read his letters and the letters that he wrote. He says, this is what I'm praying for you guys about, for spiritual growth. How often do we pray for spiritual growth for others, much less ourselves, not even ourselves? You know, we don't do it very often, and this is what he prayed for, and I believe that's what Jesus prayed for. And I got a little star if something thinks I think about this, but I had my head around this right here, and kind of been beaten all around the bush with it anyway. Do you ever pray not with a request, so to speak, but just because you feel like praying? You want that closeness with God. Have you ever, I was sharing with you at Christmas time, you know, the guys I grew up with, we all moved away from the neighborhood. One guy was still living down there, but he died. We got a couple boys that lived down there. Christmas time, I always call up Bo. I didn't get a hold of him. I call up Donald. I always call up, why do I call him? Just to talk to him. You got anybody like that? You got anybody that a friend, or maybe even a relative that, you know, you don't have an agenda. You just call them up just to talk to them. You ever just pray to God that way? Just to talk to God. Not because you have a request. Probably rare. Probably a lot of people don't. But you know, that's back to that craving thing. You know, when you have a craving. You ever pray, you know, and just because, you know, you feel like praying. You want to fellowship with Jesus. You want to be filled with his love. You want to be filled with his presence. Back to that high priest walking around the Holy of Holies. I bet he was hating life when he came out of there, in a way. Not right away. I mean, he still had God all over him. He come out of that Holy of Holies, man. But as the days went by, and he was out there with all the clabberheads in the world, and he was out there doing them to get back in the business of the world, I'm sure that he prayed. I'm sure, but that wasn't the same. It wasn't the same as being in there. Now, we're living in a different time, different dispensation there. We got the Holy Spirit's given to us. But we can quench him and grieve him, and trust me, we do good at it. But boy, there's a difference between a quenched and grieved spirit in you and the Spirit of God filling you, controlling you. And boy, when you ever get to that point right there, and then it fades this is where God wants us, right? But because we put God back on the, you know, we get to that me first thing I was talking about this morning. We put God on the back burner. And then with the distance, it's not the same. And you won't be satisfied with anything. You want to get back to that. You want to get right back to that. You know, I shared with y'all before, but when I was in Sicily and I asked God to see his face, man, I mean, God really revealed himself to me. And I'm going to tell you what, I've never felt God on me like that since then. But boy, I sure like to. I've had a little bit of it. I got a little taste of it here lately, more and more. Just a little bit, getting a little bit of it, but not like that night. So I said, hey, God, I want you to show me your face. He said, okay. And he did. And I mean, I felt his move, man. I mean, I could feel God. I mean, I could feel that it was God. So I asked him, right? here, man. I asked him for that. I wanted to see it. I know it's a real thing. Do I always pray for that? No, I don't. Isn't that stupid? I don't even pray for that. I bet, like I said, that priest had to come out of there. He didn't want to. I bet it was just, oh, man, I bet he couldn't wait for the next year when he got to go back in. Oh, man, to get back into that right there. I'd have been excited. I wouldn't be able to sleep the night before, man. Going to go in there in the presence of God. This is what God wants. It's the same thing that God wants for us. Think about that. You ever pray for that? Just for the overwhelming sense of His presence. I don't believe you can do it in a hurry, really. And then we rush to it. We can't do it. When we get to that place right there, see, then we're on praying ground. I mean, now we're, it's, you know, once we get to that place, we're almost, you know, you can get to a place where there's nothing you can say. You you can't talk. You can't say anything. And this is really more directly, this is communion with God. This is the fellowship that God has. That verse in Matthew chapter 6, it says that He sees in secret. He sees the act of prayer. He also sees the motive of prayer. He sees the heart of our prayer. He sees the desire of our prayer. Psalm 91:1 says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That has something to do with, of course, safety and satisfaction, dwelling in the secret place. It also means dwelling. The word dwelling means being at home with God, loving to be alone with God, protection, safety. Like I was thinking, that high priest walked in the Holy of Holies. He's walking in around the Ark of the Covenant. The glory of God filled the place. How safe do you think he was? Huh? What do you think would happen to him in there? I mean, if he had everything under the blood, God didn't kill him, he'd kill him right away. He didn't linger long in there if he hadn't. But he's got everything under the blood. Now he's walking in the Holy of Holies and praying. How safe was he? You think an enemy of any kind could get to him? You think Satan could get to him? Man, I mean, no sickness, no disease, no enemy. The devil himself couldn't get to him. Walking in the Holy of Holies. Man, I started thinking about that. Satisfaction. Everything he could need. I don't think he needed a thing. Think he is hungry? See, he didn't even have to set a fast. I don't believe he worried about eating. I don't believe he needed no water. I don't believe he needed to sit down. I don't believe he needed nothing. I don't believe there was a single thing, not a single thing he needed as he was walking in the presence of God, satisfied. Psalm 31:20 says, in regards to those who fear the Lord, said, Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues, hidden in the secret place of his presence. As I said, Satan can't even attack. Pride of man can't come into that place as well. Communion is more than asking. I was reading in one of my devotion books, and it talked about this very thing. Communion is more than asking. That you can't rush into the presence of God. You just can't. You can't. We try to, but we can't do it. That's one of our problems. We must stay in God's presence long enough to lose the impressions of the outside and receive the impressions from within. You see, a lot of times we don't stay in the presence of God long enough for that. Moses was up on the mountain. I think he was up on the mountain something like 40 days, I think. Long time. And he came down and his face shone. I don't believe that would have happened if he went up there for 5 minutes and came back. It wouldn't happen. We have to be in God's presence long enough for God to make an impression on our inner man and get and take away the impressions that the world has already made on us. Stay long enough for the storm to be calm. storm within. Till prayer ceases to be duty and becomes delight. When it becomes delight, when you're excited about it, you can't wait to get into prayer time with God. Now listen, I'm not going to take a hands raising thing, but I'm going to know, I know for a fact it's not like that most of the time. It's more of a duty than a delight for the average Christian. Till we get to this sinks into here and here, what I'm telling you. The sense of obligation is lost in its privilege. The sense of obligation to pray is lost in the privilege that we have to pray. The purpose becomes only to be in His presence. And that's it. We get in communion with God here when the whole purpose of our prayer life is to just get in His presence. Will there be requests? Yeah. We'll have some things to pray about. David prayed this one prayer. He said, Lord, restore the joy of thy salvation. He got into sin. The joy was gone. He wanted that more than anything. He wanted this joy back. When we come to the place, to this place that I'm talking about, this secret place, this place of communion with God, God's presence becomes the atmosphere that we breathe. That's now we're right where God is wanting to get. And listen, all of what I'm telling you, it's God's will. It's God's desire, and He's not holding it back. He said, you know, He's not saying, listen, I'm going to withhold this because I just don't want you to have it. No, but it's we have to desire it. He's wanting us to get to where we desire it. You know, this is what we want. If we could ask, and we can, the Lord, what would you want me to pray about? We ask Jesus, Jesus, what do you want me to pray about? Now, we can ask Him that. You can ask that. I believe that this is it. He would want us to ask that we come to the place where all we want is to be in His presence, to be in His love, and be content to stay as long as possible. I believe that's what He'd want us to pray for, our own self. That's what He wants, that we would just be, that we would come to that place. That's all we want. We don't have a list of laundry list. We just want to be in His presence. We want to be in His love and be content and just stay as long as possible. Oh, that would lead to the right kind of prayers and the other kind of prayers. But I think we need to pray that prayer. I think this is what we need more than any other thing. Amen? That's all I got for you tonight. Paul, come. We'll have an invitation. Boy, what a prayer. A half an hour of silence while the prayers of the saints was offered before God. And you know what? It just knowing that this is God's will, that this is what God wants for us. Man, that's what God wants for us. And it would solve a lot of problems. It would solve every problem. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Our hymn of invitation is hymn number 174, My Jesus, I Love Thee. Hymn 174, let's stand together. My Jesus, I love thee.